Indigenous ministries. I haven't always done this. I am now in my 7th month here in this wonderful diocese, the Diocese of Toronto, a diocese that has invited me in to be who and what I am. Probably one of the most advanced and amazing dioceses, if I can say that right now, and I think all of you would, hopefully you're going to say you're all agree with me now.
No, Father Chris, we don't like it.
Some simple statistics and things to ponder. The cities with the largest indigenous populations in 2011 were Winnipeg, with 78,420, Edmonton with 61,765, Vancouver with 52,375, Toronto with 36,995, Calgary with 33,370, and it goes on. This was posted on September 1st in 2016. There's the website for you if you wish. We have a huge indigenous population here in the city of Toronto. And in the 6-7 months that I have been here in this diocese, Bishop Cohen is an amazing, insightful man. Understand how I came into this position. I received a call from, I was in the Diocese of Algoma at that time. I was rector and incumbent for St. Michael and All Angels, Thunder Bay, probably second or third largest church in the city of Thunder Bay. And I wasn't looking for a new position. And I received a call from Bishop Stephen, and he said that, can I get your permission? Because we've been talking about you at the House of Bishops. And I thought, oh, that's a dangerous thing for priests. So the first question I asked him, why? And he said, no, in a good way. And he said, can I get your permission for some of the other bishops to talk to you? And I said, sure. And so I received a call from Bishop Cohen. And he said, I'd like to offer you a position. And I said, cool. And he said, yes, we're looking for an Indigenous native priest, an Indigenous priest here in the Diocese of Toronto. And I said, cool. And he said, and Bishop Stephen said that we could talk to you and that you would be a good individual to take this on if you're willing to consider it. Would you like to come in for an interview? And I said, cool. And he said, so we set up a time. And I said, okay, how many other are in the running for this position? He said, just you. You can either accept it or not. I thought, cool. And I came in for the interview. They phoned me back a couple of days later, and they said, yes, we think this will work. So I had to really think and pray about it for a while. And I sat on it for about 3 weeks, and Bishop is extremely patient with me. And finally, because I wasn't without difficulty in the parish, but at the same point in time, I'm one of those ones who doesn't like to give up a battle. And so finally I accepted, and I came into the diocese, and I accepted the position. And I tried to find a wonderful place in this big city. And I did the best I could. And I live in a nice apartment, I think. And the city is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I'm one of those kind of crazy goofs. I love to ride the TTC. Because the TTC offers me a blend of diversity. It's a blend of humanity in its best and its finest and its worst. I got to smile because roughly about almost a month ago now, I was baptized on the streets. What I mean by that was that I met with a dear woman. And I'm not giving you any ideas. Don't do this to your priest. Do not do this to your priest. I met with a dear lady who asked me for some money, and I reached in, and all I had was 45 cents left. That's all I had to my name. I had nothing else left, and I said, here you go. You can have, what? That's it? I said, this is all I have, but you're welcome to. And she said, that's nothing. And then she spat on me. And I thought, oh, I've been wonderful. I've just been baptized. And she walked away from me. Mark of a warrior. And this afternoon, I was baptized with food. Somehow I got in the middle of an argument where a gentleman decided that he needed to throw some old pizza. And so I cleaned up as best as I could, and hopefully there's nothing left on me. But just wonderful circumstances that you meet with the reality and the humanity of people on the streets. I did a presentation a while back, and where I was talking about what I do as an indigenous ministry, as an indigenous man, and at the same time of where I am called to in this ministry, and trying to find blends of commonalities that we can utilize within our ministries of reaching out both traditionally and at the same time in the Christian. And I had two indigenous men start yelling at me and swearing at me and calling me a traitor. This is the reality of my ministry today, of trying to build bridges of hope and peace, of who and what we can do to find those things which will edify, those things which will build up, those things that will bring healing, courage, new life. No one said it was going to be easy. The Lord certainly knew how easy it was. He died for us on that cross. Rejected. Alone. I always think about that prayer that he had in the garden. And I think that prayer was for us, was for me. And where he prayed that prayer so hard, so fervently. Father, if this cup should pass, but not my will, but thine be done. I imagine the tears, the fear that he had, but yet the surety that he had that this has to happen. Why? Because those many years later, there'd be that Father Chris who would be standing at that table and who would be standing at that lectern and talking about the ministry and how he was baptized with pizza one day and spit the next day. My grandfather always used to say, remember what they did to my Lord. He was an incredibly wise man. Coming back to Toronto in the present, we have a huge population. I don't think it's anywhere near that now. I think it's much more of our indigenous population. But where are the people? I've been tasking and asking and going to and visiting as many parishes and churches within this diocese and asking them, what's your representation then of indigenous people within your community, within your church? And usually it's always less than one hand, that you can count on one hand. So taking the urban indigenous population of Toronto, are they then fairly represented in our churches? Or is Indigenous ministry limited to outreach programming? Is it and can it be more than soup, sandwiches, and socks? But can we advance it to spirituality? But in what context? Is it still going to be the Book of Common Prayer, Book of Alternative Services? Or is it, can it be something that will actually speak and endorse and embrace the traditional practices of spirituality? Or does it go back to the teachings that were told and taught to my mother who was in residential school and who said and was told that it's pagan, heathenistic, Satan worshiping? You're going to go to hell. Or can it be something more? This is where we're at right now. This is the context that we're in. What can we say? It's a super ministry, maybe. And it's a super calling. I couldn't think of anything else to say, but other than that, I'm not saying I'm Superman. But have you ever noticed he's never in the same room with me? I am the only Indigenous Native priest for the Diocese of Toronto. Upon my shoulders, then, is placed all these thoughts, the ideas of research and statistics and planning, of trying to find the and hear the Indigenous voice and try to bring it to the fore and try to discover what we as a diocese can do and what are the next steps. I had another presentation with the Synod office and the Synod office staff and with Bishop Colon. I have another meeting coming up at the end of May, which I go to Winnipeg when I meet with other bishops and I meet with the other Indigenous ministers from across this wonderful land of Canada. And we're going to be talking about this, about what are the next steps. What are the next steps? There's going to be great change. I think you already know that. If you've been to Vestry, you know that. There's change within the church itself. You know that. You know that there's change with it that's on the horizon for us as a diocese. There's going to be church closures, amalgamations, integrations, all those wonderful words that we love to come up with. Changes in ministry. Changes in pastoral care. Changes in what you are going to be called for and you to take up your mantle of ministry. It's very important that we recognize that there's the great opportunity right happening right now. What can happen in the near future? Bishop Stephen Andrews always used to say that, you know, I was one of those weird priests. Instead of closing down churches, I opened up churches. I believe in church planting. I look at where everybody else said, well, that's dead. That church is dead. And I look at it and say, that's a possibility of new opportunities. That's a well of opportunities, new hope, and new wonderful things. As long as the priest is willing to work. I come from multi-point ministry, and what I mean by that is the largest I've had was I had three main churches, and I had six part-time. Total of 9 churches, 10 communities I looked after. On Sundays, I'd be on the road from about 7:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't get home to at the very latest 10 o'clock at night, the earliest 6 o'clock in the evening. I would have services on Wednesdays and Thursdays and then Saturdays and try to fit in somewhere in between there all the confirmations, baptisms, baptismal preparation, that and working on the diocesan executive, provincial synod, council of general synod, and all those other wonderful duties, that parochial duties that the bishop gives to you. If you're not doing anything else, could you possibly? And you know you never turn down the bishop. So, I'm not saying I'm Superman. But have you ever noticed he's never in the same room with me? What can Indigenous ministry look like, and are we brave enough to envision it? Only when the last tree has been cut down and the last fish has been caught and the last stream poisoned will we realize we cannot eat money. Money seems to run everything, and I used to tell my own parishes that. I refuse to put it before the altar of the dollar sign to find out whether this program is going to run. This is God's plan. God will provide. And I remember my own warden saying, you're nuts. But I do. I believe that God can do absolutely anything. And the reason I say that is that because I stand before you right now. I say it because in so many ways, I shouldn't be here. I'm a cancer survivor. At one point in time, my wife was told, make your plans now. Do all that you have to now because we can't give you a guarantee. That was 28 years ago. I stand before you now. God has a plan. I'm one of the few priests that can say that I've had knives pulled on me. I've been assaulted more times than I can count. I've been threatened. All kinds of things. And it always seems to be that the money is what we seek. Money, what we run. Money is not the answer, but people are. Historically, the church has not adjusted well with change, but people adjust out of necessity. Everyone's heard that old joke, how many Anglicans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? You can't change it. My grandfather donated that light bulb. Change is a necessity when something does not work or is problematic. Change is that which will remedy. And change demands reset of thought, word, and deed. How you are going to fulfill this takes total commitment. You can't go halfway and say, well, change, we tried. Oh, we tried. But no, you have to commit yourselves fully into it. And that's how change is made. I just put this in because I love beautiful women. But does change mean defeat? Are there really winners? And are there really losers? But Indigenous Ministries offers right now a great opportunity of change. Bridges of healing and reconciliation. But are we brave enough to take the first steps? What can the future ministry look like? Let's try to envision it. Your thoughts. Quiet the mind and the soul will speak.